Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going once again to the front lines of history in the making, and a lot of it was made this weekend. A lot of it was made. First off, Trump lost his legal team for his impeachment and then managed to scrounge himself up a new one. The team that he picked, Butch Bowers of South Carolina. Butch Bowers had some experience in election law in South Carolina, but no national firm would represent Trump in the impeachment. His prior lawyers would not represent Trump in the impeachment. And why is that? In the impeachment, this is the conviction phase that is conducted as a trial in the Senate. The impeachment part of it alone in the House, a simple majority. The impeachment phase, you don't have lawyers, the House just discusses it. But in the Senate, it's a trial, and it's a strange trial. Some people describe the senators as jurors, but they're also judges. And they're not only judges about the result, the facts, and the law, but they're judges on procedural things or anything related to the conviction phase. So you want good lawyers there, even though the fix may be in. It's very political, and people like Moscow Mitch, in my opinion, Wormwood, Lindsey Graham, the human lizard from Texas, Cruz, Paul, Randy Paul from Kentucky, people of that ilk, Hawley from Missouri, doesn't matter what kind of evidence produced, but there are roughly five, maybe six senators who are reachable. And we need 17. And who knows? It's a political question, but you need lawyers. The previous lawyers won't do it for a couple of reasons. It's the same reasons that Trump couldn't get major national lawyers initially. First of all, large law firms are afraid that he'll stiff them. He won't pay them. And you think, come on, he has money. He should. No, this is a guy who simply doesn't pay his bills. So large firms won't do it. The other ones do not want to be associated with something dirty for their long-term brand. They do not want to have to be advocating that there was fraud in an election when they knew there wasn't. So they bowed out. Butch Bowers, this was the dream job for Butch Bowers. This would put him on the map. He put a team together, but it fell apart. And it fell apart because Butch Bowers, no matter how much he wanted to get his name around, was not willing to use as his defense what Trump wanted as his defense, which is this was a fraudulent election and he was simply telling the truth. Butch Bowers knew that wasn't true and he was not going to be part of it. And at the same time, Trump looks for zealots. He doesn't look for great legal ability. He looks for ideological commandos who do what he says. And so he has put together a new team of two lawyers. One of them, David Shane, this is a guy that represents organized crime. This is a guy who talked to Jeffrey Epstein, although didn't actually end up being selected to represent Jeffrey Epstein. He's a guy who says he has information that Epstein was murdered in jail. I personally think that on the death of Epstein, that while he committed suicide, they made it easy for him to do it. He was supposed to be on suicide watch, which means he wasn't supposed to be in a cell by himself. There should be a camera on him at all times. When he committed suicide, he was in a cell by himself. Camera was turned away, and the guards were mysteriously just looking down at paperwork. But he's also assisted by Bruce Castor, Pennsylvania lawyer, Republican, who will be his running dog, who will be his handler, his associate in this thing. So these are pieces of work. David Shane. David Shane, mobster lawyer, proud of it. He'll get up and he'll say whatever Trump wants him to say, just like the mob does. So that's Trump's new legal team, and they have a filing due tomorrow. Now, the way it works in law is Butch Bowers will turn over immediately all of his work product to David Shane. Presumably, they had a draft ready, and all Shane has to do is read it and sign it. But in any event, they have a filing tomorrow with their position. And their position, it's reputed to be that Trump told the truth. There was fraud, the same old bull that's been thrown around that resulted in an insurrection crowd coming very close to murdering Mike Pence, Nancy Pelosi, and a long number of members of Congress. And that's going to be the presentation, written presentation on Tuesday. Then there's a response by the other side. And then the conviction trial starts next Monday. So stand by. Stand by. This is another tawdry episode in Trump's post-presidency. And we will see what David Shane does. But Butch Bowers is out. Butch Bowers had some modicum of shame, modicum of ethics, wasn't willing to go down the line with Trump. And Trump is looking for zealots. He's looking for people to hurl themselves against the walls. We have another episode. The Republicans have countered Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan with a small one. I think it's a negotiating tactic, $600 billion, about a third of it. And what doesn't it have? It does not provide for the minimum wage to go to $15 an hour. Biden believes, I believe, and most of the Democratic Party believes that the minimum wage should be $15 an hour. Remember something, you know, you adjust minimum wages by cost of living and you adjust it for present day dollars. So the minimum wage in 1968 in present day dollars was more than $10 an hour. And right now it's a little over $7 an hour. So the minimum wage has dropped by about a third since 1968. So any Republican worth his salt should at least say we should push it to $10 an hour, $10.50, the exact correlation to 1968. They won't even do that. The $15 an hour is directed to some abusive practices. Walmart, for instance, and a lot of the big box stores pay their employees minimum wage. They may do it a little over $7 an hour. They may give them $8 or $9. But then they have a school for them where they teach them how to apply for food stamps and for Medicaid and for any other assistance that they are eligible for because they make so little money. So what happens is a lot of the Walmart employees will get food stamps and they'll get Medicaid. What that means is taxpayers are subsidizing Walmart's payroll. And Walmart says, well, if we had to pay any more, we'll end up using robots to stack shelves. Well, good luck, Jack. Good luck. People don't like walking into robot stores. They don't like something with flashing eyes and a pointed head, a machine kind of jerking around the floor. Who cares how you stock the shelves? What's important is customer relations. I go to Walmart, I like to be able to walk up to somebody and say, where's the paper and pencil? Where are the TV sets? And they point them out. Anyway, that's the fight. The first fight is over $15 an hour. The second fight is the Republicans don't want Biden's $1,400 supplemental checks. Remember, checks went out at $600. The $1,400 is supposed to make up to the original $2,000. What they are proposing, what they're proposing is to bring the checks down to 1,000. And it's not clear. Some of them think 1,000. Some of them think then you deduct the 600 that's already been paid and you only get 400. So we'll see what they have to say. But they don't want as much money put into circulation, which would be a big mistake. Look, the vaccines are coming online. People are getting vaccinated finally under Biden. And the fact is that we got to pump some cash into this economy. Remember one other thing. Whenever a dollar is put into the economy, even by the government, it circulates. Some economists say it circulates three times, some say six times, but let's say it's anywhere in between that, because every time somebody gets a dollar, $100, $1,000, they spend it. They spend it on food, they spend it on rent, and the people that get it pay taxes on getting it. And then they spend it to pay for their rent and to pay for their employees, and they pay taxes. You've got to put cash into the economy. You cannot have a drained economy. That's the big mistake that the Republicans made. They did it on purpose in Wisconsin when they refused the $1 billion in Medicaid money, the $1 billion in train money, which was our federal taxes, and then said they were going to put $4.5 billion to a Chinese company, Foxconn, for what? Supposedly creating jobs? It's a private market. Why are we picking winners and losers? The Republican Party is economically illiterate. They're malevolent. But this kind of negotiation is starting. 10 of them have asked Biden to meet with them in the White House. It includes Romney, who's a very, very good guy. And Biden has said yes. So Biden is going to meet with 10 of them and as early possibly as today and let them make their pitch. My advice is do not negotiate with them, because we did that on the Affordable Care Act, and then everybody voted against it anyway. All they did was get us down. All they did was get us down. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.